My name is Sarah. If you don't know me, and we're really glad you're here, and here's our scripture for today. It comes from 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 14. Of course, it's very long. Thanks, Lens. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer for me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he's made all of this plain to us by appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Spirit, we invite you here to this room and to this place. And I just pray over the next few minutes that that you would draw us into something that can actually be lived, and that you would draw us into something that can fill, and that you would draw us into something that would be less striving and more flourishing, less knowing and more flourishing. So we thank you. We thank you for quiet fall mornings. In your name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite things to do on this weekend of fall break, on any holiday weekend, is to award you extra points in heaven for coming to church on fall break. And then remind you that we don't believe in that. But if we did, you would get them. You would 100% get them. Today is a little bit different for us. The band, when I walked in, I was like, oh, yay, I love acoustic sets so much. They're one of my favorite worship days. And I was like, oh, and we're doing the acoustic set of sermons this morning because I flew in from Chicago at midnight last night. So the problem is, normally when I'm tired, I say things that have to be edited out of the podcast. So please, Lord. No. My world has a lot of running in it. Not my particular self, because I do not run, clearly. But all three of my boys run. If you know them, they're runners. Campbell and Graham and Huck, all three run cross country, and Campbell and Graham run track, and Daniel's a runner. And so most of, or a lot of our conversation revolves around running. I joined, do you know what Strava is? Strava is like social media for people who run and bike, and I joined just to have something to talk about. You know, like, not because I'm putting things on there, because I'm not running or biking, but I am spying on others who are. Daniel and the big boys are in Memphis for a race this weekend. It's just one of our things. It's just something that comes up a lot. And I've learned something about running. I've learned that that there are quite a few ways that you can improve yourself as a runner, that you can improve your speed, that you can improve your stamina, that you can prep yourself to get ready for a race or to do things like that. And I've learned that there are quite a few things that you can do to become a better runner. You can do things like alter your diet, get rid of dairy. I don't know. Like, you can alter your diet. You can add supplements. I am refusing to add up the cost of supplements currently revolving around my house. Like, I don't understand why every person needs a different kind of magnesium, and how are there so many kinds of magnesium? Like, and why do we need all of them? But we have them all. Should you ever need a magnesium, please do come to my house. So you can do things like that. You can watch, we watch a lot of YouTube about running. You know, like, I thought that golf was the most boring thing to watch on TV. I'm so sorry to all of you who love it, but it does turn out watching someone run a marathon is the most boring thing. You can, like, we don't need to see all their steps. Like, we can see the start and we can see the finish, and that's fine. Like, those are the two most important pieces of information. You can watch people talking about running. You can listen to podcasts about running. There are so many things that you can do to make yourself a better runner. But what I've also learned, again, by watching, not doing, is that the best way to become a better runner is just to actually run, right? It's to run. The best way to get better at running is to run, and to do it a lot, like all the time, and to do it on good days and on bad days, when you feel good, when you don't feel good, on sunny days, on rainy days. It's the best runners run just no matter what. And that is, it's the best way. The best way to become a better runner is to run. And so I think that idea very much applies to our inner lives as well, because the same thing is true. A question that we ask a lot around here is how do we increase flourishing in our souls and flourishing in our lives? How do we deepen our practice of prayer? And the answer is the same for that. You can talk about it. You can watch YouTubes of other people talking about it. You can learn about it. You can do so many things. But at the end of the day, the best way to enlarge your soul through prayer, the best way to pray is pray. The best way to get better at learning how to do it, the way we define prayer in this space, is just paying attention to God. And so the best way to pay attention to God is to actually pray. And if you know me well, then you know that I like really, really love the church. I grew up in the church. I love the church. I love the experience of church. I love, 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 love the church. But then I also have a really complicated, like many of you, most of you that I've talked to, have a really complicated relationship with the church. And one of the complicated things for me in being raised in church, and if we've known each other a long time, this will be no secret to you, but one of the things I struggled with a lot is I felt like growing up in church, we spent a lot of time talking about following Jesus. And we talked about how it was like a really good thing to follow Jesus. And then we would talk about sometimes in really specific places, we would talk about how you could do that. Some things that you should do. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can love your neighbor. We talked a lot in my church about not doing bad stuff. I got the idea that the only way to follow Jesus was just not to do bad stuff, which did not go well for me. But we would talk about it. But it was a very rare thing that we would spaces were ever created where we could practice doing the things that we were told to do in the name of deepening our relationship with Jesus, or in the name of following Jesus. And so in this church, we very much believe in creating those kinds of spaces. And so every single week here at Springbrook, we try to practice the things that we talk about. That anything we talk about, we try to put into practice. That we don't want to be a church that just watches people talk about the things of faith. We want to be a church that actually practices it. So we practice faith. We pass peace every single week. We take communion every single week. We do these practices to put our bodies and our hands into the things that we believe and the things that we talk about. And then every single week we carve out some time that we call Selah, where we take just a few minutes, where we every single Sunday practice praying. Where every single Sunday we set aside a few minutes to pay attention to God together, to what he's saying in our lives, to what he's saying through his word, to what he's saying through worship. I really do think it is a very crucial job of the church to create spaces to actually practice the things that we talk about. I don't want to be a church where we only talk about running. I want to be a church that runs. I want the church to be a place where we can lace up our, like put on our shoes and lace them up and go out. And so today my hope is to spend some extended time practicing, to spend some extended time running or praying, not running, but praying. So I'm doing this because I think this is what Paul is getting at in his letter to Timothy that Sarah just read to us today. So this, we kind of loosely follow the lectionary here at Springbrook. And so all over the world, people are reading what we read this morning. And we're reading this letter that Paul wrote to essentially his spiritual son, this guy Timothy that he loved, that he cared for, that he cared very much about the soul of. And so in this letter, Paul leans into some of the things that I'm saying. He says in verse 6, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gifts that God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Or verse 13, he says, "Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching that you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truths that have been entrusted to you." Paul, he has this desire for Timothy, and his desire is that Timothy would lead a full and flourishing life. And more than that, a full and flourishing life with Jesus. And what Paul knows is that the only way to do that, the only way to grow and to flourish in faith and in a life of faith is to actually practice it. He doesn't want Timothy to just hear what life with God could be. He doesn't say, observe the flame. He says, fan it. Get involved. Keep it alive. Keep it growing. Don't just talk about what life with God could be. Actually live it out. Don't just watch YouTubes of someone talking about what life with God could be. Live it out. The teachings that Paul is reminding Timothy of, what he knows is that they aren't, as he's talking about the teachings of Jesus, I think what Paul is saying to Timothy is that these aren't just like greatest hits of things that Jesus did one time before. What he's saying is that these are things, not just what God has done for other people, these are stories of what is possible for God to do in you. Again, he doesn't say to watch the flame or observe the flame. He says to fan it. Paul knows that the stories are an invitation into something that Timothy couldn't actually or could actually experience in his own life, not just read about happening in someone else's life. And I think the same thing is true for us as well. Our lives and our prayers, they can move from just being stories of what God did one time in the pages of the Bible to becoming something that we actually live in and we actually move in our everyday lives here and now in 2025. The words of the scriptures, they are an invitation to experience the very same things that the early followers of Jesus experienced and that they're possible to experience now today through the presence of God in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's a writer that gets a lot of screen time around here or stage time named Tyler Staton. I just really like him. And he says this, I love this. He says, "If your primary experience with the scripture is to get it known rather than to get it lived, I would say that you're leaving a lot on the table that Jesus talked quite a lot about. And there's no reason not to take every drop of life that a God of grace wants to give you." If your primary experience with the scripture is getting it known rather than getting it lived, I would say you're leaving a lot on the table. It is important to get it known, and it is equally as important to get it lived. Another writer I like, a guy named Pete Gregg, he writes a lot about prayer that's super practical and so good. And I've listened and read multiple interviews with him, and every time someone will ask him the same question, they're like, Pete, how do we get better at praying? And his answer is the same every time. He was like, he always says, you learn to pray by praying. You learn to pray by praying. I think they're waiting for some like genius answer. And every time he's like, you just pray. So I figure there's no better time to do that than now, to not just learn about prayer and learn about how to enlarge our souls through an experience with Christ, but to actually live it and to actually do it and try it, to lace up our shoes and go after it. So we're going to do kind of an extended Selah today, to do a prayer practice all together. And it's something that we've done from time to time around here at Springbrook. It's a prayer called the Examine. The Examine is a prayer that we do often because personally it's been very, very fruitful and formational in my own life and in the lives of quite a few people here that I love and trust deeply. And so this is something that we can do all together in this moment, but this is also something that you can take with you and do in your own home, in your own car, in your own life. We actually have, I meant to bring one in and I forgot, but on our info table we have cards that'll walk you through exactly how to do an Examine. But the Examine prayer was a prayer practice created years and years and years ago by St. Ignatius. St. Ignatius was the founder of the Jesuits. And part of being a Jesuit, there were a few kind of like rules of life that they had this rule of life. And there are a few things that you had to do to remain a Jesuit or to be a Jesuit. And one of them was to do an Examine prayer every single day. That was one of their requirements, that they would do this prayer of examination of their own heart and their own lives every single day. Ignatius called the Examine a prayer of consciousness because his hope was that through this kind of prayer practice, the people of God would wake up to the ways and the move and the presence of God in their own lives and directly around their own lives. Essentially, what it is it's just a slow prayer that allows you to look at and kind of review your life. Most often, an Examine is you looking back over kind of a short period of time, maybe the last 24 hours, maybe a weekend, maybe a week. The thing we'll do today, I think if you went back over kind of this season of your life, it would make a lot of sense. But this is not a prayer to go back to your childhood and do work there. Those are good and right prayers. That's just not what the Examine is. The Examine is kind of a shorter way of observing your own life as it is actually happening. So we're going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to slowly lead us through this prayer. It'll take us about 10 minutes to do together, and the gift for you is that our band is going to play music during it, and they are the grooviest of grooves. So this one, I stole this version of the Examine from a book that I can't recommend enough and recommend often. It's called Reimagining the Ignatian Examine by Mark Thibodeau. And it's essentially 30 different prayers. If you're looking for something to strengthen and enrich in your prayer life or deepen your prayer life, this would be a great one to try. So here's what I want you to do. While the band is coming up, will you just get in a comfy place? I was going to say not too comfy so you don't fall asleep, but if you fall asleep in the presence of God, I'm fine with it. If you snore, we'll elbow you. Okay, and will you just close your eyes? If that's comfortable for you, if you're like, I got to watch the exits, you can keep your eyes open. But I'm not going to make you do anything weird, but would you just get in a place that feels comfortable? Would you close your eyes? And we're just going to take a couple breaths all together. I say a lot, there's nothing magic about breath, but there is actually something magic about breath. It can calm us, it can sustain us, it can do a lot of things. So will you just take a big, deep breath in? Do that one more time, just in a way of just kind of getting present to this space in this moment. Okay, so I'm going to invite you. I'm going to lead us through eight different small prayers. If that sounds really long, I promise it'll just be about 10 minutes. And so it'll be 8 different steps, and it might help to treat them as their own little section of prayer, their own little thing to hang onto. And if you get distracted, it really is okay. Be gentle with yourself. It is okay to be distracted. If you get distracted in one of the 8 sets, just come back when we start a new one, and they're all easy to jump in on. So the first thing is, I just want to allow a little space for us to take a minute to wake up to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Bible tells us that when more than one of us is gathered, that the Spirit of God is with us and is present in the space. And so would you just take a moment and become aware of your breath, aware of the room, aware of who is here and who's not. Okay, next, so I just want us to spend a couple of minutes in gratitude. So would you just maybe think back over the last 24 hours, maybe just the weekend would be fine, and would you just acknowledge some things that you're grateful for, that you woke up, that you have legs that work and bring you here. It can be big things or small things, anything that you're awake to in gratefulness over the last 24 hours. Okay, we're going to reflect and pray into 3 things, 3 relationships that we have, and we'll take kind of a similar structure to each of them. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to focus on the relationship that we're talking about and just kind of lean into it. And if this feels really new to you, it's okay. I will talk you through it. But first, I want to spend a few minutes thinking about and reflecting on your relationship with God. Imagine you, imagine God. And I wonder how it is. How does your relationship with God feel? Does it feel close? Does it feel distant? Does it feel something or nothing? There's this verse in James that says, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And I wonder if you feel that in this current season of your life. Do you feel the nearness of God? What do you feel when you think about him? Do you feel joy or gratitude? Do you feel shame or fear or bored? Hope is that this would be space for you to open up to God about him, in paying attention to him, that you would pay attention to your experience of him, to what you're seeing and knowing or missing or whatever. So a few minutes just to open up to God about how we feel about our relationship with him. Thank you. going to take kind of a shift, do a similar thing but about a different relationship. Would you spend the next few minutes thinking about your relationship with other people? And what I specifically mean is, like, how are you showing up around other people? How have you been lately? Would you describe yourself as friendly or grumpy or passive, affirming, distant, close? How is it that you feel like you have shown up in the relationships in your life recently? And maybe as you think of that, something might bubble up, and I wonder, is there a particular relationship that has been unusually good in your life? Someone that you are just in a really sweet place with. I want to ask the opposite question too. Is there a relationship in your life that has been unusually tricky or draining or difficult or just devastating? So we'll just spend a minute here. What bubbles up? A few minutes to pray and open up as honestly as we can to God right now about how we feel about our relationships with other people in this season of life. I want to think through one more relationship, and this may sound like a weird one to you, but for the next few minutes, I want us to spend time thinking and reflecting about our relationship with ourselves. It's not one we think of or pay, or I don't think of or pay attention to all that often. And so how do you feel, like, in your physical body and spirit and soul? Like, how do you feel? I'm just going to ask some questions, and if one resonates, hang on it and ignore the others. But how do you feel? This is another one. Do you like yourself in this season of your life? When you think about yourself, what feeling word might you put on it? Do you feel proud? Do you feel mad? Feel tender or harsh? You feel content or maybe just frustrated or judgmental? You feel gentle? Name feelings about yourself, maybe lean into what factors in your life have led to these feelings or these attitudes about yourself. This is kind of a difficult one, but not in the way of blaming other people, but just in an observational way. What in your life is happening that is impacting your ability to see or feel things about your own self? I want to ask one more question on this. My favorite passage of scripture comes from Colossians 1, and in it, it says that through Christ, God has made peace with everything in the world. And I wonder if in this moment you feel peace within yourself. Is peace something you have access to in this season of your life, or does it feel very, very far away in your own relationship with yourself? And I'm just going to pause here and give us a few minutes to think about and lean in a little bit to how we see ourselves. And if it feels really weird to you, ask God's perspective on it. Ask Him to speak in and enter into this. Okay, we have two more steps in this second to last one. Here's what I'd like to do. We've reflected on three relationships: our relationship with God, our relationship with others, and our relationship with ourselves. And I wonder, of the three of them, which one stood out the most to you? As you've been quiet and prayerful, which one has felt the most powerful as you've reflected on? Maybe a better question is, which one of these has given you the strongest emotional response, or what was the one you were able to pay attention to the longest, or maybe it made you feel the most uncomfortable or comfortable, either one. And so for the next few minutes, I just want you to lean back into that one, your relationship with God or with others or with yourself. And as you sit there, would you do what needs to be done? Would you give thanks where thanks is needed? Would you give or receive forgiveness where forgiveness is needed? Would you ask God for peace where peace may be needed? Maybe a good question to ask God is, where does this relationship need to shift or be nurtured, or what things might need to be stopped or let go of to lean into something that looks more like peace or flourishing? So I just want to give you a few seconds to ask God to give you some truth or insight on how you might move forward here with someone you love, or maybe inside your own head or your own heart. Examine prayer kind of ends the same way pretty much every time, with sort of a call to action or a movement. And so I want to take this is our last step, the last few minutes, and ask God this question. What specifically, I'm going to preach a little in this part of the prayer. The Holy Spirit does not really speak in vague terms. Holy Spirit, if He's calling us to action, it is usually quite specific, particularly with relationships. So what specifically can I do today or tomorrow, in the next minutes or hours, regarding this relationship? Not what can I do over the course of a year or a lifetime, but what specifically could I do today or tomorrow in the name of peace or flourishing in this relationship? And you can ask God to help you with this. This isn't something we always just know on our own. So I'm going to give you a few minutes there.